Welcome along then to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK. And the man in form, Steve Palmer, joins us fresh off his latest tipping success. 40-1, Victor Hovland. Steve, to wait until Monday morning, but nonetheless, a winner.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, we haven't had a Monday playoff for ages. Like, they seem to hate them now, don't they, the PGA Tour. So it really made Monday exciting. 2 p.m. Playoff, and it just lasted such a short amount of time. It was over in a flash, Dave. I don't know whether you tuned in, but bish bosh bash. Yeah, high quality playoff. And thank goodness Victor Hovland has got us back on track.
Well, I didn't expect it to end so abruptly. An unexpected missed putt.
Yeah. Two fantastic iron shots, and then the classic case of going first. You know, going first, applying the pressure. And then Scheffler buckling under that pressure. Yeah, lots of Scotty Scheffler chat to be had.
Yes, well, listen, that was the playoff, but we'll review the whole tournament when we get to that. You're here, of course, on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do get involved with us here, particularly on the Sweet Spot. We'd love to hear from you, getting those comments. Did you follow Steve last week? I'm sure plenty of you did. Who do you fancy this week as well? We've got two tournaments to look back on, two tournaments to preview. So do get involved. We'd like to hear from you and also get involved with our friends at SBK. Jump onto the website. They've got a new customer offer for you. And of course, they are the official betting partner of the DP World Tour. So make sure you jump onto the website. Referred customers get £20. Must bet £20. Get £20 in free bets in addition to the welcome offer. So there is actually £60 in free bets up for grabs when you place your first bet of £20. All the information is on the website, betsbk.com, 18 plus gamble aware. But do, if you haven't got an SBK account, jump on and take advantage of that, because there is £60 in free bets waiting for you. Right, Steve, before we get to the golf, it's all been happening in the World Cup, hasn't it? As we've come on, two big guns have been downed. Is it our time?
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, the Netherlands have gone, the Germans have gone. And Senegal's to lose now. You know, I'm, as a punter, I'm all over Senegal and hoping that they can go far. I just need them to get to the quarterfinals, really, to make money from them. But yeah. I mean, England obviously have been hugely disappointing since the Croatia game. Hopefully Dr. Congo won't have any nasty surprises for us.
Indeed. So that comes all before the golf. Outside of golf, what have you been up to, Steve? Have you been a busy boy? I did notice that you've had some company in the shed, in the racing.
Yeah. Peter Thomas came down and did a feature on. I wasn't really sure what the feature was about, but he just grilled me for a long time, and I think the results of that feature in today's Racing Post. It's all been happening. I turned 48 on Friday, last Friday. Angela Yora was taking the gloss off of that Friday. We'll discuss that in a minute in the Italian Open. But went to Thorpe Park, Dave. My daughter has a birthday close to mine. And we went to Thorpe Park, and she's a big coaster, a big rider, whatever you want to call those guys. So I went through the pain barrier for her. I found it quite a draining experience, but all good.
It's meant to be fun, mate.
It is fun for people who are able to shut off their brain and not think about the fact that they're like a million miles up in the air, and you've got these like teenagers doing the belt buckles for you, and like you're putting so much trust in like people who are like, yeah. And it was 33 degrees Celsius. I was just fearing that it would be a day when things could go horribly wrong, Dave. It's easy to come out far in a day, but if you go on that Hyperia, wherever it's called,
I've been on it.
Yeah. I've been on a more of it. I struggle with that. My brain is sort of telling me that this is a crazy situation. You're with your daughter, your precious daughter. You don't want anything. Yeah, you spend your whole life protecting your offspring, don't you? Your instinct is to protect them. Oh yeah, why don't we just go up on this great big roller coaster up into the sky, and then if something goes horribly wrong, certain death. Why don't we try that? It's very hard for me to get my head around that, but I did it for Grace, who absolutely loved the whole experience.
Okay, right. It's Thorpe Park. It's not a final destination, Steve. Like, you'll be absolutely fine. Like, these rides are going around all day long. There's checks in place.
There were record temperatures, Dave. Record temperatures. I didn't know whether the metal might expand or something under these unprecedented heatwave temperatures. Anyway, I'm over it now. Yeah, whether I'll return's another matter. But the comment section,
the comment section's
been absolutely brilliant, Dave. The comment section. You mentioned this week's comment section, last week's comment section. All the old characters are absolutely buzzing. It's lovely to see. We've got a real mix of quality characters in the comment section. You know, our American friend Aaron Markham going absolutely bananas. I love it when our American friends are happy. Your Giles is everyone's buzzing. Kev McCarthy's this measured character. We've got such a lovely mix of characters in there. You got your ones that struggle to stay calm like me. They sort of bubble over. And then you got this Kev McCarthy character. It's just such a measured character. I just wanted to mention that the comment section is thriving.
Beautiful. I did notice that we still do have someone in there suggested I'm wearing eyeliner, but listen, just live with that. We can live with that. It's fine. It's not a problem.
There is that. They're never going to let that go, are they? And there's somebody who wants to know about Parker Coody, Pearson's Coody's brother, who's got this terrible injury. So yeah, Parker Coody. Not a terrible injury. He will be back. But I always thought Pearson Coody was better than Parker Coody. But Parker Coody's been injured. For that person that's been asking,
yeah,
you know, literally every week, I apologise that we haven't addressed that.
But you've now put that to bed. Good work. Right. Shall we look back then on the Italian Open? And it was back-to-back successes for Eugenio Sciacara. Was it two wins in his last two appearances? Taking a break. A five-shot victory, now third in the race to Dubai. It gets an invite to the Open. Matt Wallace second, Neiman third, Lagergren fourth, Ayora fifth. Talk us through it, Steve.
Yeah, Eugenio Sciacara has now got three DP World Tour victories at the age of 26, which is great going. He was a superb amateur. He's a former world number two amateur, Dave, and then went straight to LIV. So, you know, I get excited about these quality amateurs. I backed him at big prices early on in his LIV career. And I remember he won LIV Bangkok in 2022, and I wasn't on him there, and I was devastated. I think he was about 150-1 that week. Then he won on the Asian Tour in 2023. Then he left LIV. He sort of fell out with Sergio Garcia, and he focused on the DP World Tour. And, you know, all credit to him. He's taken the DP World Tour by storm since returning. KLM Open, Italian Open, and now the Indian Open was his maiden one. So third in the race to Dubai rankings, Dave. He'll be on the PGA Tour next season. So he's got the last laugh because, you know, Sergio Garcia and the Fireballs didn't want him. But, you know, Sciacara will have the last laugh because he'll be on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, for sure. And he was deadly on Sunday. I think he missed a 3-foot putt at one stage, but he was dialed in. Five-shot victory, never in any danger.
Yeah, really aggressive player, isn't he? Really entertaining player.
I like it, yeah.
His temperament, a little bit suspect in the LIV days. Yeah, a bit of a hothead. Now these wins wins are calming him down. Wins calm us all down, don't they, Dave?
They do. Listen, you, there was a lot of people loving your calmness last week, and look, it's bred success. Just back on him, he's a player that is trying to win golf tournaments, right? He's not trying to fall over the line. He's trying to run through the winning line.
Yeah. It's hard to get a handle on him because I was following him for a long time. I thought he was a bit over aggressive. He strikes me as a bit of a flat track bully. You know, he played very easy last week in the end, didn't it? But it must be said that he won the Indian Open on one of the trickiest courses out there. Broke her hearts by defeating Kaito Nakajima, if I remember rightly. So, the jury is still out on Eugenio Sciacara, but you have to say his last two performances have been absolutely outstanding. Maybe we need to give him a little bit more respect.
What about those that were on the leaderboards? Anyone notable? Ayora, big showing. He's in action again this week.
Well, both the favourites went odds on, didn't they, last week? Yeah, Wacom Neiman was pre-tournament favourite, finished third. You know, after rounds of 64, 63, you know, he's got the tournament by the scruff of the neck. You know, went long odds on after a strong start on Saturday. It was a fascinating performance from Wacom Neiman because in control at the halfway stage and then had a really good front nine on Saturday, but then five back nine bogeys on Saturday. So it was like that US Open. You know,
on a course which wasn't massively difficult.
Nah, five back nine bogeys is poor. And I feel like the US Open exertions caught up with him. Then he made a double bogey in round four at the second hole. So, yeah, he went out like a light, did Wacom Neiman, to deny favourite backers there. And then Angel Ayora, my word. I mean, as I say, on the Friday, my birthday, Angel Ayora was the last name off my shortlist. And, you know, he played so well on the Friday. I had to go for a swim at lunchtime just to get over the fact that Jura was gonna win that Italian Open. Thrashed around the slow lane of the swimming pool for a bit and took out some grandmas. Jura, yeah, again, like stalled in one round. He always seems to have one round that stops him making this breakthrough. He's still a young man. We've got to give him time. But that Saturday round was poor. His putter over the weekend was ice cold. Another healthy check, but no cigar. A big, big, big think. We're going to have a big think, Dave, about Angel Jura this week.
Okay. What's your stroke of choice in the pool?
Oh, well, front crawl. I've got a textbook front crawl, actually, from my Australia days. Yeah, Australia is a year that I look back on the opposite of fondly. But I did win a junior Ironman competition due to my swimming class, and it developed me into a world-class cricketer. They were the two positives. I mean, yeah, I'm a good swimmer, but I haven't got the stamina, but I've got the technique. Yeah, I'll take you down the swimming pool one day, Dave, show off my butt.
That's where you should have taken Peter Thomas.
Yeah, I'd like to show off my butterfly. Yeah, if I could somehow get my engine back, yeah, I could still probably develop. Is there a senior circuit in swimming? I could probably be win the senior swimming Olympics with the glove on. Yeah, that might get a bit soggy, mightn't it? But I can do the lot, mate. I can do the lot. Yeah, I'm sounding a bit cocky now, but you should see my butterfly, Dave. You'd be staggered by the quality of the butterfly.
Okay. Right, anything else to add? What about Matt Wallace? Good run from him, good spin.
Yeah. Matt Wallace played well, yeah. I mean, on the DP World Tour, you always give him a chance because he feels like a big fish in a small pond on the DP World Tour. And doesn't seem to produce it on the PGA Tour. But yeah, a really disappointing tournament for the tips. I mean, thank goodness the Travelers Championship went well because the Italian Open didn't. Yeah, the course played a bit easier than I was anticipating. And as I say, I'm just pleased Angel Jura didn't win because that would have ruined me.
Okay, well let's move on then to the success at the Travelers, 40-1, Victor Hovland. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, we had to wait until Monday morning daylight. Killed play as the playoff they came back. I mean, Steve, they could have just played. I would have tuned in to watch 18 holes, given it had to be the next day. I mean, just turning up for what ended up being one hole was a bit. So what?
It was over quickly, wasn't it? I mean, it on another note, they've taken out the old 18-hole playoff from the US Open. In the good old days, you used to have an 18-hole playoff on the Monday of the US Open. You remember Tiger Woods against Rocco Mediate? Yeah, Tiger Woods against Rocco Mediate on the Monday was one of the greatest sporting spectacles in the history of the world. We don't get that in the US Open now. And I say I wanted it to go on longer. I thought it went absolutely perfectly. I loved it. I could get back to work. Yeah,
absolutely. An eighth PGA Tour title for Victor Hovland. It's very easy to forget that he'd already won seven. He's not an old man either, is he?
No, he's just a tinkerer, isn't he? And he won the FedEx Cup in amazing fashion and then decided, try and find a way of improving. You know, a lot of players have gone down this path of, winning golf tournaments and then thinking, how can I get better when they're already at a level that they should, that can have great longevity. I still think Hovland will be one of the best players Europe's ever produced. He's that good. He's contended for majors and I think he will win majors and you'd have to have a good think about him for the Open Championship coming up because he's contended in the Open before. But he was superb last week for the vast majority of the tournament. It was just the first 10 holes on the Sunday that he lost his way a little bit. Don't know if you were watching, Dave. He's playing so slowly. It was like paralysis by analysis. He seemed to get out of the rhythm that he had over the first 3 days. Missed a couple of short putts, four bogeys in his opening 10 holes. And then that weather break came at a great time for Hovland and his backers because it's a chance to hit the reset button. You might remember when JJ Spawn won the US Open. It was exactly the same. He was ragged in the early stages, JJ Spawn, and then he had the weather delay and he came back a different man. And Hovland was bang on it when he came back. And he went from two shots behind to nearly winning in regulation, Dave. You nearly didn't get your Monday because his putt on the 72nd hole, the birdie putt looked so good for the whole journey, and then just at the last minute fell away. I thought that putt was going in. And then Scheffler obviously had an 8-foot par putt.
Clutch.
Oh, yeah. It was clutch. And you saw how much it meant to him with the reaction there. I think Scheffler was really keen to stop the rot and hasn't. But yeah, Hovland will be thrilled with what's happening in the last few weeks because he topped the strokes gained on approach stats at the Canadian Open. And then last week, he topped the strokes gained off the tee stats in the Travelers. And yeah, that is huge for Hovland because, you know, driving's been the issue. He's got this new driver in the bag finally. And, you know, he drove the ball beautifully last week. Fantastic all-round performance, I'd say. And, yeah, that range work on the Saturday of the US Open. Remember, he missed a cut in the US Open by a shot and then just grounded himself. You like doing that at the R&B clubs, don't you, Dave? Yeah, he did a bit of grinding on the range on the Saturday. And then, yeah, you saw the results last week.
What of Scheffler then? Dave, we mentioned how much that putt meant to him to force the playoff. He'd be devastated with the one that he missed in the playoff.
He will. I mean, he was a general 4-1 favourite. And then when odds on, when it's, you know, after a strong start to the tournament, it's his fourth runner-up finish of this season, Dave. Four runner-up finishes, his ninth top four of the season. But, you know, for Scottie Scheffler, players of his stature measured on wins, aren't they? And he's got stuck on one now. And it's definitely in his head. I mean, we've been mentioning how grouchy he's been this year. You know, some of our commentators speculating that the second kid has sent him over the edge mentally. But I think that the victory drought is really getting to him now. That is 13 tournaments he's gone without winning. And, you know, that putt in the playoff was the part of a man who's feeling it a bit, I'd say. Because everyone's talking about the Scottie Scheffler victory drought. You know, your Dave Clarks, your Dottie Peppers, you know, everyone on Planet Golf is talking about this. And I think Scheffler really needs to end it because it's a contrast to last season and the season before. You know, he won nine times in 2024, Dave. If you include the Olympics and the Hero World Challenge, which I think you jolly well should because they're, you know, top class tournaments, you know, elite fields. Nine wins in 2024, six wins last year. Yeah, I think that pattern's going to continue, Dave. I think it's going to be 9-6-3. I think he'll win three times this year. I certainly don't think he's done with winning, but yeah. He could take the positives from his approach play last week, Dave. His approach play is what wins in the tournaments. He was really good last week. He's not done winning, but he's certainly losing his head a little bit, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, I'd back a little bit on that in that the guy's missed out in the playoff. It's not as if like he keeps missing the cut and he's absolutely gone at the game. Do you know what I mean? He's still up there.
No, absolutely. No, four runner-up finishes. But, you know, he would have left a bit deflated there that this winless run is going. He won't be down the R&B clubs with you, Dave, twerking away.
There's no twerking. There might be some grinding, but there's no twerking.
If you offered him a twerk on Monday afternoon there, Dave, he would have rejected you.
Okay. Obviously, those two were in the playoff. Anyone else catch the eye?
Well, I think Colin Morikawa deserves a mention. Yeah, so he's looking a little healthier. He's moving better. So I think the physio has done a fantastic job because Morikawa's been playing through these back problems. Yeah, I like the look of him last week. Yeah, fine around 61. So if Morikawa's fit again, then he has to come back into our plans. And I thought Matt Fitzpatrick, you know, he finished fourth. It was fascinating issues with his driver. He closed with a 64, Dave. And with a new driver in the bag, he's gone from a tight list to a ping, which is a really strange move from somebody who's won three times this year. You know, twice as an individual, once with his brother. That driver that he was having so much success with broke at on the Wednesday of the Truist Championship. It cracked on the Wednesday at the Truist Championship. And he hasn't been happy with any of the replacements that have been provided by Titleist. So it's fascinating. It's that the feel these guys must have in their fingers. Like you'd think that Titleist would be able to provide an exact replica, wouldn't you, of the one that he was enjoying so much. And they haven't. And he's got really frustrated. And then he's gone to ping. He picked up a ping bag. He's picked up a ping driver for last week. So really odd move. And I found it really off-putting. But he was the straightest driver in the field last week, Dave. He found 53 of a possible 56 fairways. So he clearly likes the new driver. So Ping will be happy. Fitzpatrick will be happy. But, I can't really get my head around what's happened there.
Bizarre. Horses for courses and all that. One player which showed up well, Keegan Bradley. Deadly.
Yeah, he likes it around there, didn't he? And JT, I mean, JT didn't putt well, didn't hold a putt, Dave. So, I mean, 14th place. I know you went all in on JT. I mean, that's six consecutive top 20 finishes on the PGA Tour. But the putter wasn't firing, that the irons weren't really firing. He scrambled well to get to 14th place. So yeah, fascinating wink. I'll give you a fascinating wink. Learn to speak, Steve. I tell you what, I think, Ping should sign up When You Ding. It's just popped in my head. They've got Fitzpatrick now, but yeah, they should pay a fortune for When You Ding, shouldn't they? For obvious reasons. Get Ding using Ping. They should offer him all the tea in China for that move. He's a Callaway man. So, sorry. Things just popping in my head. I'm struggling to stay calm this week.
It's all right. It's not a problem. Listen, it doesn't really matter what leaves your mouth as long as the winning tips keep on coming. That's all we care about, Steve. So we're in good form. Shall we move on?
Yes, Dave. Are you wearing eyeliner this week?
Yeah, and a bit of foundation, whatever that is. Yes. The whole lot.
Red rag to a bull send. It doesn't matter what comes out of my head.
Well, listen, just keep the tips coming, mate. That's what
you're
we want.
Jerk.
That's what people
we're
cheering for. We're cheering for.
You're a jerk, Dave.
Let's move on, shall we? Right. The BMW International Open. We're in Germany. Tell us about the track, Steve.
Yes, Golf Club München Eichenride, Munich, Germany. 7,354 yards, par 72, four par fives. It's hosted this event 29 times. Most recently, 2013, 2015, 2017, and from 2019 onwards, it's flat. Is straightforward. On 13 occasions, the winning score has been 20 under par or better. We've got four reachable par fives. We've got one reachable par four. I'm questioning whether we might have two, actually. There's one that might be in range for the really big hitters. So, yeah, this is a birdie fest. We've had 11 rounds of 62 here. We might get a pre-tournament thunderstorm to soften the course, make it even easier. We're going to get great scoring conditions for the tournament, sunny and calm for the most part. Periods of light rain on Friday. So attacking golfers who are putting well should be dominating the leaderboard. A field of 156 going to post. Place your bets by 5:40 a.m. UK time on Thursday.
Ugh, boring. 15 million unders are going to be the winning score. Right, previous winners, Dan Brown, Ferguson, Thiston Lawrence. We've got Hao Tong Lee and Victor Hovland as well. Walter on 10 holes. Dan Brown found more fairways than anyone else, and he topped the green in regulation stats. But what are you saying, Steve? Are you saying we want a bit of length here?
Yeah, I think this course is there for the taking. Yeah, the weather forecast is really promising. And as I say, four par fives, two reachable par fours for the big guns. I think you're right. 25 under par, maybe.
Okay, market, which is very, very interesting. The favourite is Neiman. He is as big as 17 to 2 if you shop around. Patrick Reed is next in, though, at 18s. Then we've got Shikara, who's 18s as well. Angela Yura, Daniel Hillier, Nygaard Peterson, Oliver Lindell, Marco Penge, Jaden Shaper. This is quite a strong field, I think. And it's barring Neiman, it's 18s the field. So wide open this one, Steve.
Absolutely. And we've got six tips, Dave, but three of them are enormous prices. Yeah, don't worry. Lots of juice here. Lots of juice here, Dave. Keep your fluids up.
Okay. Right then. BMW International Open. Who is the main selection?
That was a badly timed throat issue. Daniel Hillier, who is one of the best players on the DP World Tour, a 27-year-old, currently holding one of the spots on the Race to Dubai that will give him a PGA Tour card for next season. So highly motivated. He knows he's got a PGA Tour card within his mitts. And relatively fresh, Dave, because he played only one tournament in February. He played only one tournament in March and only one tournament in April. So he had a really light schedule in that time. He got married, recharged his batteries. From May onwards, he started really knuckling down again. He finished 26th in the US PGA. 7th in the Austrian Open, 14th in the KLM Open. Missed the cut by a shot last week in Italy, but more suitable venue this week. I think he'll bounce back. Fantastic driver, Dave. As I mentioned, four par fives. You know, certainly one drivable par four. The 16th hole is in range for him. I think the fifth hole might be. He can certainly get close to that green. Hillier is one of the best drivers in the business. He finished third at Aitchen Ride in 2023, despite finishing 85th in the putting stats. So it shows how well he hit it from tee to green in 2023. He was a DP World Tour maiden back then. He since won the British Masters. He won the New Zealand Open on the Australasian Tour in March. He's arrived in poor form for his last two Aitchen Ride starts, but now, yeah, he missed a cut by a shot last year. This time, I think he's ready to make a huge impact. So he's the pick of the the market principles.
He can send it as well. Would you look at this four? You said four par fives. Would you look at par five scoring as a stat?
Yeah. I kind of know it in my head, Dave. Yeah, I mean, if you remember, yeah, Hillier's one of the best drivers in the business. You remember the Dubai Desert Classic where it's one of the best driving performances I've ever seen when he nearly beat Tyrrell Hatton in the Dubai Desert Classic. Hillier needs, Hillier can make mincemeat at the par fives. He's actually so straight for someone who hits it so far. You know, total driving statistics, he'd be very, very high up on them. He's the complete package with the big dog in his hands.
Send it. He can send it. Right, who's the next best?
Matty Schmidt, a German to thrill dejected galleries. I mean, yeah, they need a pick-me-up after last night's debacle against Paraguay. The BMW International's not had a homegrown winner since Martin Keimer in 2008. I think Matty Schmidt is capable of playing that role, give the crowd what they want. He came to Aitchen Ride as an amateur in 2021. He was ranked 1,897th in the world and finished 14th. Then he was 18th in 2023, 32nd in 2024, and 7th last year. That 7th last year, Dave, came despite form figures of miscut, WD in his three tournaments prior. This time, he's had some miscuts in the build-up too, but you must be aware that these are PGA Tour events. His last outing that he missed the cut in was the US Ruddy Open. This is such a significant downgrade for Schmidt to the DP World Tour company. And in the middle of last month, you know, not long ago, he finished 4th in the USPGA Championship. That is a huge piece of form in the level he's playing at this week. Yeah, the Schmidt A game, seriously good. Streaky putter. Yeah, he's got that. He can get really hot with that big wand of his, Dave. Massive runner.
Yeah, I like that as well. The Germans in the field. The second pick. Who is the third selection?
JC Ritchie, an 11-time winner on the Sunshine Tour, a 7-time winner on the Challenge Tour. Four of those wins were co-sanctioned by both. But the point is, prolific winner of low-grade events. Last year, he played the golf of his life to win 3 times on the Challenge Tour. And the first of them was an 8-shot victory in Germany, Dave, the German Challenge. It was at this time of the year, it was a July event, a similarly low-scoring track to Aitchen Ride. He fired 4 rounds of 66 for a 24-under-par total. That was at Wittelsbacher Golf Club, which is an hour up the road from Aitchen Ride. Those 7 Challenge Tour wins have come with an aggregate total, Dave, of 136-under-par, so... That's an average of almost 20 under par for the events he's been winning. So, you know, he loves these low scoring birdie fests. He's got some course experience. He's got form figures of 37-31 from his 2 visits to Aitchen Ride. Now he returns more confident than ever. He was 9th in the Turkish Airlines Open last month, 3rd in the Catalunya Championship, 17th in the Austrian Open, 48th last week on less suitable terrain in Italy, but still carded 4 under par rounds. So, yeah, I think JC Ritchie is a really, really exciting each way bet.
The stars have aligned for that one and being backed already this week. So I had to scroll down away to find him. But the shrewdies, yourself included, I hope, snaffling up the big, big prices, JC Ritchie. That does excite me, though, Steve, because you've told me that the prices get bigger and more already at a big price there. So who else have you got for us?
That's it, Dave. Love exciting you. I reject your twerk offer. Niklas Norgaard, the 2024 British Masters champion. He was a PGA Tour rookie last season, found it tough to adjust to life in the States. He became a father just after the US Open last year. So he's got this rookie campaign. Then he becomes a father right in the middle of it. It was a tough gig for him. He's back on the DP World Tour now, back in his comfort zone. I think he's ready to start showing his quality again. He's had a year as a dad. He's getting that work-life balance sorted that we all struggle with. And back living in Copenhagen, and his last four outings have been really encouraging. He was third in the US Open qualifier at Walton Heath. Then he was 21st in the KLM Open, 43rd in the US Open. You know, that's good form. You know, outscored lots of superstars at Shinnecock. Then he carded four under par rounds for 45th place in Italy last week. So, yeah, massive prize outsider. You know, one of the longest drivers on the tour, capable of ripping this course to shreds.
Nice. Okay, who else are we going for?
Øyhan Gilemondegaay, a 21-year-old Frenchman, full of promise. Won on the Alps Tour by 8 shots when he was a 17-year-old amateur. Turned pro later that year. Won again on the Alps Tour in the summer of 2023. Won on the Challenge Tour last year. Making progress every year. Finished 5th in the Challenge Tour rankings. DP World Tour rookie this season. And quickly making an impact, Dave. 3rd in the Catalunya Championship has been the highlight. 4 rounds in the 60s for 25th place in the Italian Open last week. So, yeah, I think he's going to fall in love with Eichenried. Long name, big price, big name, big price.
Remind us of his name again.
Øyhan Gilemondegaay.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, what sort of price are we looking at there, Steve?
150 to 1.
Oh, here we go. Now we're racing. And the next one's even bigger, right?
Slightly shorter, but yeah, three enormous prices. The last one is David Ravetto, the 2024 Czech Masters winner. He won that with a 23 under par total, similar to what we're going to get this week. A strong driver who likes to attack. He closed with a 67 for 19th place last year, so he's got a handle on Eichenried. Recently, he's looked like he's getting back to his best. 5th place in the Joburg Open in March, really encouraging. He's made his last 5 cuts. He was 14th in the KLM Open earlier this month. So, yeah, 2 big price Frenchmen to finish the staking plan there.
Love it. Big prices. No love, then, for Messrs. Neiman, Reed, Shikara or Ayora?
Well, Neiman faded badly over those final round and a half.
Couldn't back him,
yeah. Yeah, he was that course was playing really easy last week. Over the last 27 holes, Dave, he's over par, is Wakenlin. He's way over par for those final 27 holes. And Eugenio Chikara outscored Neiman by 10 shots over those final 27 holes. So, Neiman's a course debutant. So, yeah, single-figure prices about a course debutant who faded at the weekend. Not for me. Patrick Reed missed a cut in the US Open, 45th in Italy last week. He's gone off the boil a little bit. He hasn't got the firepower to overwhelm these scoring holes. You know, the 4 par 5s, the 2 short par 4s. You know, Reed will have to birdie them a different way to others. Angeli, my God, he's a conundrum every week, isn't he? He makes my life very challenging as Angeli. He ruined my birthday. It's the same deal as last week. He's on my shortlist. He's a fair price in early shows. Yeah, some people take a piece of those early shows, and I've reluctantly scraped him from the staking plan, Dave. There were 2 players I thought long and hard about, and I've eventually left out. Both Spaniards, actually. Ayora, I've left him out because, you know, that weekend performance was a flop, let's be honest. Great halfway position. And, you know, I'm panic-stricken thinking he's going to win from that position. And he's faded to 5th place and didn't hold a putt over the weekend. So, okay, we're going to resist Angel Ayora. But José Ballesta, you know how much I rate him. LIV player. Yeah, one of the longest drivers on the planet. I would have had him. I would have had him had he not entered the Open Championship final qualifying, Dave. You've got to have your eyes and ears on everything. That's today. Back in Blighty, José Ballesta and Sergio García, they're 2 biggest names, I'd say, in it, are playing an Open Championship final qualifying in loads of various links courses in Blighty. So, you know, when's José Ballesta even going to get to the BMW International Open? Probably on Wednesday. 36 holes on a Tuesday on a links track. It's not great prep, is it? So I had to reject Ballesta.
I like it. Is there anyone else in the field notable who's playing qualifying?
I think that those 2 Spaniards are the best. Yeah, there's a few. Yeah, and if you're considering backing, get the draw. If you're considering backing anyone that's playing in that, I think it's a big risk because I think 36 holes on a Tuesday. knackers you right out.
I hear that. Okay, anything else to add before we move on, Steve, to the John Deere Classic?
No, Dave, yeah, we better crack on. Yeah, another low-scoring event. Both, you're going to see a lot of birdies this week. I know you like your hard ones.
Yeah,
I know you like
so, ones. Yeah. I don't like it easy. No.
You like your hard ones, but we're going to move on to another easy track.
Okay, right, the John Deere Classic then, the 55th running of the John Deere Classic, a staple part of the PGA Tour. We've been at this course since 2000, Steve, so tell us about the course.
TPC Deer Run, Silvis, Illinois, 7,327 yards, par 71, three par fives. The John Deere Classic has been held at Deer Run since 2000. It's one of the easiest PGA Tour venues out there. You must carry a hot putter. Sunny, hot, humid, calm conditions come in. Steve Stricker won this three times in a row, you might remember. So your strong wedge play, your sharp putting, that's the recipe for success. Don't be scared to back a maiden, Dave. Seven of the last 12 winners of this have been maidens. A field of 144 going to post. Place your bets by 1 p.m. UK time on Thursday.
Beautiful. When I look down the roll of honour, I mean, we'll give you the last five winners. Brian Campbell, Douglas Thompson, Seb Straka, JT Poston, Lucas Glover. And you go down further, the likes of Ryan Moore. This is a track they don't have to send it at, right?
No, it's not particularly long, is it? No, I think wedge play and putting is the key to success. Your Steve Strickers, your Zach Johnsons have won here. But I've only got four tips for this one, Dave. So we've got 10 in total. We're definitely going to have the winner of both.
24 each way doubles then. 59 watch we've got to be on this week as well. The John Deere has thrown up a few 59s down the years.
It's feasible, Dave. It's feasible. Yeah, there's one player I'd fancy to do that more than any other, and that's my number one tip.
Okay, right. I think I might know who that is, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Who is the main selection then?
Jackson Kuyven, who I've been getting so excited about. I wish I hadn't mentioned him in previous weeks because maybe the bookies would have been on to that. But yeah, my excitement levels for Jackson Kuyven are off the hook. Is that the right expression? I know the youngsters have got all sorts of expressions these days.
It's charts.
Off the charts. It's off everything, Dave. He turned pro on the Monday after the US Open. So, yeah, used that exemption for the US Open. And now he's a member of the paid ranks. He's just finished arguably the best amateur career in history. Certainly well up there as one of the best ones. Ludicrously low scoring averages. He's statistically already one of the best players in the world. The first player to win all four of the major collegiate awards in a single season. The Haskins Award, the Jack Nicklaus Award, the Ben Hogan Award, the Phil Mickelson Award. He's getting all the plaudits, fully deserved. Have a look at his record, Dave. You'll be drooling. He made his sixth PGA Tour start. He had a load of sponsors invites a couple of years ago. Made his sixth PGA Tour start in last year's John Deere Classic and finished 11th. So you might be thinking, he's come to the John Deere Classic for the first time. Finished 11th last year, Dave. Then he was sixth in the ISCO Championship, fifth in the Wyndham Championship, and fourth in the Pro Court Championship. So his last four regulation starts on the PGA Tour, all as an amateur, of course, 11, 6, 5, 4. Bear in mind that Pro Court Championship had almost all of the American Ryder Cup side in it. You remember that tournament, don't you?
Yep.
Scotty Scheffler wins that tournament. Kuyven finishes fourth. Just easing himself into that world-class company. He finished only three shots behind the best player in the world in the Pro Court Championship. His only professional tournament since then was the US Open, which we backed him for top amateur, and he tied for top amateur. He finished in 23rd place in the US Open. Only seven players in the US Open field outscored him in the final round, Dave. You're dealing with a player who is ready to rumble. I'd say he's the best amateur since Tiger Woods. Yeah, I know that's a bold claim, but this player, you're going to fall in love with him, Dave. He's already got a PGA Tour card. There's no concerns about getting a PGA Tour card. That university accelerated program, Dave. Yeah, Ludovic Aubert took that path. Jackson Kuyven has got his PGA Tour card to the end of the 2027 season from the university accelerated program. He's just turned 21. Probably already in the top 10 best putters in the world. This putting stroke, Dave, is just so sexy. Just a classic textbook putting stroke. Doesn't miss putts, does this boy. And low scoring events suit him because he's such a good putter. A low scoring event like the John Deere is absolutely perfect for him. So there's no point hanging around, Dave. Just get stuck in now. As people are, unfortunately, there's plenty of money for him as well. I mean, JC Ritchie's got the shrewdest gun. You pointed me out. It disappoints me. But everyone knows, the shrewdies know that Jackson Coyven is different gravy. I think he's going to win straight out the gate and bank a $1.5 million check.
Tell us a bit about him, what we know of him. You know, should the opportunity to win arise, is this a bold, brave, confident player who's going to try and win the tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. You do have to analyse the interviews as well, Dave. You'll be so impressed with him. Like, yeah, we just warble on like crazy cows, don't we, at the age of... Well, I'm 48 now. How old are you, Dave?
Not 40 yet.
Not 40 yet. That's fair enough. And like, yeah, we just warble on. Like, he's so measured in the interviews. Yeah, the college system in the States creates, you know, professional golfers. They're ready to go. He's so impressive. He's so calm. It's not just the golf game. The temperament is outstanding. And I just think, I think he'll win this, and he may go into the interview afterwards in the media conference and go, hello world, like Tiger Woods did, when he started winning. So, this is your man, Dave. This Jackson Coyven will save every one of us.
Right, you've got me excited. Listen, he's very well respected in the market. He's third in with most firms. A short amateur career. Does that mean that he never made it to amateur number one in the world? No,
no, no, he did. No, no, he absolutely did. No,
how many weeks? How many weeks?
He could have turned pro. He could have turned pro a couple of years ago. He just stayed loyal to the Auburn guys, and yeah, he wanted to go when he felt he was entirely ready, but he's quite clearly ready last year, wouldn't he? I mean, I think he's wasted a bit of time. I mean,
how many weeks did he spend as amateur world number one then?
Oh, it was loads, Dave. Yeah, it was loads. Yeah. Sorry. No, I don't know the answer to that, but it was loads. Yeah. No, don't worry, Dave. You can wear your hoodie. Brendan Duke can get his hoodie.
That's it. That is a big box that needs ticking. Anyone that we're backing.
Can't believe the merch hasn't been produced yet. I really must get on to whoever's in charge of Race and Post merch.
Okay, right. As you mentioned, he's been very well backed. He's the main selection. But there are still, prices north of 20-1 out there. So do shop around, of course, and do check out SBK for the winning boost as well this week. All the information will be on the website as to which tournament and how big that boost is. But of course, if you follow in Steve, find the winner. It's nice to have that bonus on top. Right. Who is the next best then, Steve?
Tom Kim. Who, when he was Jackson Coyven's age, had already won three times on the PGA Tour because they took completely different paths. I mentioned how Coyven delayed his switch to the pro ranks. I think he probably delayed it a bit too long. Kim did the complete opposite. Kim turned pro when he was 15 years of age, Dave. An absolute prodigy. Didn't bother with college golf at all. He was too young back then to hold an official membership on the Asian Tour, so he started off playing in Thailand on mini tours, just banking a few little checks here and there on the tours that let him play. He won on the Asian Tour age 17 in 2019, made his PGA Tour breakthrough in 2022. He was second in the 2023 Open Championship. He looked unstoppable back then. We mentioned it last week, I think. Ludwig Aubert poached his caddy, and it had a real impact on Tom Kim when Joe Scorferin abandoned him for Ludwig Aubert. The form dipped. He let some winning chances slip at the end of 2024. Then 2025 went really badly. 2026 was sort of steady but unspectacular up until May. And from May onwards, the old Tom Kim has come back, Dave. Sixth spot in the Myrtle Beach Classic was followed by Kim successfully qualifying for the US Open. Then 15th place in the Canadian Open was followed by third spot in the US Open. You know, Kim at the US Open, you could see the confidence just roaring back into his system. You know, he really enjoyed the adulation that he got from the crowds there, because you had the birthday boys, didn't you, on the Sunday? Scotty Scheffler and Tom Kim getting happy birthday sung to them by all the galleries. You know, it was an anti-Wyndham Clark vibe around the place. Yeah. Suddenly, Tom Kim was like a hero. Yeah, he absolutely loved it. I love watching it. Thomas the Tank Engine back on the rails, Dave. And Deer Run is a beautiful setup for him. He made his course debut last year which is a big handicap. We mentioned this track's been around since 2000. You know, a long-established track that loads of pros know like the back of their hand. Kim turns up for his first go last year, and he opened with around a 72. So getting to know the place, very slow start. Round two, 66. Only 11 players in the field outscored him in round two, Dave. He fell one shot shy of the cut line. So expect a faster start from Tom Kim this time round. The confidence is back. He says he's going to win majors. I think that's a fair comment. I think it's entirely feasible, but I think a fourth PGA Tour title will come sooner rather than later.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the form horses, shall we say, coming into this. So, yeah, he's a fair price. Right, who's the third selection?
Denny McCarthy, one of the best putters on the PGA Tour. So it makes sense that he would be competitive. You might call it a glorified putting competition this week, Dave. It's a very straightforward layout. And McCarthy has enjoyed this course in the last four editions. He's finished 6-6-7-11. So I've long thought that this would be McCarthy's breakthrough venue. He won the Korn Ferry Tour Championship in 2018. He's lost two playoffs on the PGA Tour. Surely he'll get over the line one day. And I think his recent form, Dave, is better than it looks on paper, because it's a bit like Bud Cooley. Do you remember when we were discussing Bud Cooley the other day? In the lead up to him winning the Canadian Open, he'd been playing in elite company only. You know, only in the biggest events. And it's the same with McCarthy. He's been playing almost exclusively in signature events and majors. His last seven starts have consisted of five signature events, a major and the Canadian Open. He's banked a check from all of them. He was 14th in the Travelers Championship on Sunday. Weekend rounds of 66-65. So I think McCarthy is arriving, playing well enough to contend at Deer Run again. And, you know, this could be his moment. He's at 33 years of age.
Nice. And he would be a maiden winner, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That was quite interesting. That what remind us of that stat it was?
Seven of the last 12.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, quite interesting that. Okay. Right. Who is the next selection?
The finale for this one is Max Homa, a six-time PGA Tour champion, former Ryder Cup star, two-time President's Cup winner, a man who finished third in the 2024 Masters, former world number five, Dave.
Yeah.
But he's been in the doldrums. We all go in the doldrums at some point in our lives. It's about coming out. It's about emerging from the doldrums, Dave. Okay? And Max Homa is showing signs that he's going to emerge from the doldrums. The last victory he had was the 2023 Ned Bank Challenge, but recent outings, little seeds of recovery in recent outings. Closed with a 67 for 22nd place at Colonial. Then he lost a playoff in a US Open qualifier, so agonizingly short of qualifying for the US Open. Then he carded four rounds in the 60s for 20th place in the Canadian Open. All of this happened after he's axed his latest caddy. After the USPGA, he told Lance Bennett that their partnership was over. John Ellis took over the bag. John Ellis was Wyndham Clark's caddy for 8 years, Dave. And then in March this year, John Ellis and Wyndham Clark split up, got him. So I think they're going to be a good combination, Homer and Ellis. Homer didn't need to play in the John Deere Classic when life was rosy for him. He returned to it last year and he finished fifth, Dave. I think he's going to use this tournament as a springboard to get him back where he belongs.
What has caused Max Homa to be in the doldrums?
Oh, Dave, I mean, I hate it when players chase the money. Like he is a club manufacturer switch, which I think was the main issue. You know, he joined Cobra, then he paid a fortune to switch all his clubs. He ditched a coach. He made a couple of poor decisions and he's just been chasing his tail since then. I just think this is a class act and, he's showing signs that he's getting back. So I like the fact he's not on Twitter. You know, he's one of these fellas that got a bit distracted by your Twitter. He's put that behind him. You can say there's a focus about Homer to get back where he should be. And I think this is a good opportunity, you know, class act in a poor field.
Nice. Just to go off piste slightly, Is Justin Rose still using those McLaren?
Yeah.
Has he been getting on?
Well,
he's
had some half decent results with him. Yeah.
What's he saying though? Is he happy? Is he?
Oh no, obviously he's obviously deliriously happy. He says he's deliriously happy. I mean, he could be missing every cut, and he'd say that.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
best irons he's ever had. To be fair to him, he's hitting him. He's been hitting him better. He seems to be settling quite nicely with him.
Okay, because I know he was absolutely livid when he decided to. So I just thought I'd ask the question.
No, I'm Steve Karma now. Steve Karma, as Bruce was calling me. Steve Karma doesn't get livid about those sort of things.
Brilliant. Okay, right. Those at the head of the market then, Ben Griffin, Chris Gotterup, Keith Mitchell, JT Poston, Keegan Bradley. Talk to me. Was anyone on the radar?
No, I don't think Chris Gotterup is a natural for this course. We mentioned how it's wedges and putting. You hit a lot of wedges this week. That's definitely Gotterup's main weakness, is his wedges. He's a bit clumsy with his wedges. So his course form is 4, missed cut 21. I can live without Gotterup at those odds. His usual caddy is having a baby. He had a different caddy last week. Funnily enough, he had John Ellis last week, who is now Max Homer's caddy, because Max Homer wasn't playing in the Travelers. Homer said Ellis could caddy for Chris Gotterup, who's usual caddy.
Keep up with it, Austin. Jesus.
So I don't know whether Chris Gotterup's usual caddy has had the baby. But yeah, it's just a little bit unsettling for Chris Gotterup not knowing what caddy he's going to have. Anyway, I think he's a poor prize for this. And I think Ben Griffin is not the sort of player you back at these odds. I mean, he's not a player I rate highly, as you know. I think he's peaked last season. He broke into the world's top 10 last year. I don't think he'd be back. I think he's world number 16 at the moment, but I just feel his level is sort of world number sort of 35. But he missed the cut by 2 shots at Deer Run last season. He's been lively the last few weeks. The bookies have fallen in love with him again, but I don't think he's a player to back at short prices, as is Keith Mitchell. Oh, Cashmere Keith. I mean, nearly won the US Open, to be fair to him, but I'm not backing Keith Mitchell at short prices. You cannot do that. If you're a self-respecting golf punter, you cannot do that. So clip that one when he wins by 10.
Well, let's snowball it. The Palmer or Karma disciples all latching on. And maybe we can get Jackson Coyven going off favourite for this event. How about that?
Yeah, that would be lovely. I'd make him favourite.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, I'd absolutely make him favourite. And this is coming from a massive Chris Gotterup fan. If you compare the putting strokes of Chris Gotterup and Jackson Coyven, my word, there's a contrast. You know, one is just pure filth. You know, the Jackson Coyven putting stroke is probably the most attractive thing I've ever seen. My lady wife, of course, my lady wife when she comes down the stairs in her nightie. But then second is Jackson Coyven's putting stroke, whereas Chris Gotterup, yes, it's a functional putting stroke. It's quite ugly. From a big Chris Gotterup fan, I think Jackson Coyven should be favourite. Believe the hype.
Okay, well, let's get this train boarded then. In that case, we're all on Coyven then. Well, listen, you might be able to get boosted prices win only out there, Stephen. Be that confident?
Yeah, I like your thinking, Dave. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to be Steve Karma, but you're just firing me up. You're just inviting me to.
We can get excited. It's not a problem. Outside of the golf this week, Steve, where will you be watching the Three Lions?
Well, it's a 5 p.m. kickoff, isn't it, Dave? I mean,
very friendly kickoff that is. Yeah,
it's brilliant, isn't it? So, my big question is where I'm going to finish working time. But if I do, I'll try and watch it with my children. Yes, it's great when you can get your children involved in a World Cup. Yeah. And I told Tommy Tiger that the Germans have been knocked out this morning, and he was delighted with that. Because now, the Netherlands were a very handy outfit. Yeah, that's another big out. So if they all start dropping like flies, then maybe England have a chance. I mean, the last two performances were really disappointing. And I think Jed Spence is one of the worst players ever to become a first team now. We're stuck with him now. Reece James is injured, didn't we? So, I'm quite disturbed by many aspects of the team, to be honest. I really am quite downbeat about the chances, because Cole Palmer don't get me started.
Is there give us a positive, a glimmer of hope?
Yes,
George Bellingham, world beater.
Bellingham, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Jude Bellingham is absolutely fantastic. Harry Kane, if he's got enough puff left in him, I always worry about him just running out of puff. It's a shame he didn't beat Ghana, because then he wouldn't have had to have played against Panama. So I just don't see enough. Right, I'd love England to win the World Cup. I think it's Senegal's name's on the trophy. So it's Senegal's to lose now.
I think the French might have something to say about that. But anyway, what about the Arrows, Steve? Any Arrows this week?
No, they're having a week off because you've got the world match play is coming up. Very hectic schedule. So they're having a little breather before the world match play. Yeah, it's all coming thick and fast soon. You've got the Open Championship, the world match play, and obviously the World Cup reaching its finale.
We need to get ourselves onto a simulator, I think, for the Open.
Well, I hear you've got some trees. Was that the tree cutters? You've got some trees being cut down in your garden.
They're all gone. They're all gone, yeah.
You've got a lumberjack round today, have you, Doku?
Is it a big old tree. Big tree.
You could take him around the golf course with you, and then any difficult holes, you just go and cut them down for me. So, So you've got a lumberjack in your big acres. How many acres is your garden?
Not many at all. Yeah. Not many at all. But a big tree that overshadows it and overshadows next door as well. Oh, so she had to go.
Bit more sun in your garden now. Is that the idea?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Oh, brilliant. So you might not need all that eyeliner now if you just get a nice tan coming in.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly that. Right. So, should we wrap the show up then?
Yeah.
Okay. So on that final note. Right. Remind us of your selections this week, Steve.
Yes, sir. Daniel Hillier, Matty Schmidt, JC Ritchie, Nicholas Norgaard, Ohan Gilamondegai, and David Rovetto.
And remind us of the bet buy time there, the DP World Tour.
5:40 a.m., I believe. Oof. UK time.
Okay, right. Early start on Thursday. And the John Deere Classic.
Jackson Koivun, Tom Kim, Denny McCarthy, and Max Homer.
Nice. Okay, and just to go on record once again, you think that Jackson Koivun is the best amateur turning pro since Tiger Woods?
Yeah, I certainly haven't been this excited since Ludwig Auber turned pro. I think Jackson Koivun will have more of an impact than Ludwig Auber has had. And to be fair to Ludwig Auber, it's been a significant impact he's had. He's getting a lot of stick now for being on a bit of a drought. Yeah, I think Jackson Koivun may be better than Ludwig Auber. So, look out.
Fast Jackson Koivun, long may he stay far away from the bin. That's what we're going to say.
Yeah. Michael Thorbjornsson's, he likes this part of the world. He could go well this week.
Sure, you just be quiet, all right? Right, all the best to you then, Steve. Listen, let's get this Jackson Koivun train up and running then, shall we? You out there, remember to enjoy yourself, enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next time.